I want to start this homily by telling you the key to happiness. Now, I'm well aware that a quick Google search will give you lots of answers to that question. Some of them will say, well, here are various keys to this. Some will be more direct and say, this is the thing. And so there's obviously room for dispute and various ways that people would approach this question. But I'm pretty confident that the answer that I can give you is the answer to the key to happiness. And this is what I would say. Let God provide for you. Let God provide for you. Now, it seems simple enough, and I'm sure all of us would say, well, fantastic. I'm happy to just let God provide for me. But as simple as it might sound at the outset, one of our greatest skills as human beings is to complicate things. And so just as God would say, here, it's simple, we would say, well, but... And then we have our whole list of what ifs and how about this and things that we should think we should say. So we tend to complicate it in various ways. One is that we want to decide what God will provide. We want to be the ones to say, God, this is exactly what's needed. If you give me this, then we'll both be happy. And so we try to take it away. We try to take God being God away and be God ourselves. This was ultimately the first sin. This is what Adam and Eve failed in. They wanted to be God rather than to just let God provide. Another problem that we have is that when it comes down to it, some of us just don't like to be given things. We would rather earn what we get. I have seen people who are extremely service-oriented, willing to lend a helping hand to anyone else, but if you so much as try to take their plate to the trash for them, they will resist, say, no, I'll do it myself. We don't like to let people do for us. And so we complicate a God who wants to provide. It's also true and unfortunate that we are so connected to each other that other people's actions scar us. They skew our vision of basic good itself. And so we might resist even the most sincere efforts at love because of damage done in our past. And then we have pride to deal with. Pride that makes us demanding, makes us closed off. And so we have a God who says, I will make you happy if you will let me provide for you. Hears us respond with all kinds of conditions and no's and resistance. Today's feast day is a powerful way for us to make progress in this key to happiness. Think about, as human beings, what our first need typically is. Anyone who has ever brought a baby home from the hospital knows that the first thing you try when that precious child starts screaming is food. Give them something to eat. Hopefully that will satisfy, because we recognize that hunger is one of our first and most basic needs. We cry from our first moments, and then happiness is found whether that food, that need, is provided for us or not. To the point that if somehow real neglect happens in those crucial, very first moments, it can be part of the scarring that happens through the course of our life. Someone else must provide for us, and our basic happiness in its first moments depends on it. Now, of course, these things can't stay this way forever. We grow up, and we have to take on some responsibility. But here's the rub. We can only take on some responsibility. And part of our complication is that we don't learn how to cooperate. We don't learn how to accept some responsibility and surrender some responsibility. I know how many times I remember as a kid hearing on Sesame Street that word cooperation that was trying to be drilled into us because we don't accept it so well. So we have to accept some responsibility, but then resist the strong urge in us to just take over. We like control. And control and letting someone provide don't fit together. Happiness is found when we actually stop at cooperating, but lost when we cruise right past and become demanding. Today's feast celebrates a God who provides for us, starting with our most basic need of hunger. A God who has chosen to provide for us by offering us food, but not ordinary food. In the first reading today, we are reminded of our ancestors, our family in faith, who was wandering in the desert with no possible way to provide for their hunger, worried that they would in fact die in this desert when suddenly food literally rained down from heaven, provided for them in a miraculous way by a God who was guiding them through the desert. Then this only gets reinforced in the hands of Jesus, who reminds them that God provided food for them. But now he says, I have something more to give. I have my flesh as real food. And tells us, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. A food that is certainly miraculous, a food as well that we cannot earn, but a food that only gives us life to the degree that we are willing to receive it open-handedly, to let God provide instead of demanding on our own. This connection between happiness and God providing food is one that's very personal for me. Because I remember in the earliest days of thinking about God's call in my life, this was at the center. Now, for most of us, one of the most essential things that affects our happiness is that big decision about a career path. What are we going to do with our lives? How do I want to use my talents? How can I make a difference in the world? And so it is also in these key moments, this career path decision, where we decide to go with God or not. Or maybe not to even bother asking God in the first place. But this idea of letting God provide for our career path, this is what the notion of vocation means. Now, I know in the church we tend to focus on vocation only as it relates to religious life and to priesthood. But the broader sense of a vocation is a question of aligning my work with God's plan for me. Letting God provide the talent that I bring to this so that I cooperate with God, as well as letting God provide the day-to-day interaction that my vocation, my career allows me to serve, to provide for others, to cooperate with God. And so as we grow up, we should be asking the question, not just what do I want to do, but what does God want me to do? But even now, it's not too late. Even if that was not a question in your mind as you were deciding your career path, it's not too late. God still wants to provide for you. He still wants to help you cooperate with your work in His plan and to bear fruit as He works through you. We never run out of opportunities to let God provide. And so for me, as I was coming to this question of a career path, the question of the vocation of priesthood started to bounce around in my head. And when it did, it was met with resistance. My first response to God's call in my life was to say, no, find someone else. To have a whole list of ways that I was going to provide for myself. How I knew, I thought, the path that would be best for me. But fortunately, God is patient. And God is willing to coax us along. Now, it didn't play out this clearly as it was happening, but now, these many years later, as I look back, I can see what God was up to. And while I certainly didn't distinguish God's voice at the time the way I see it now, it was clear that when I said to God, "No, I've got my own plans," God said to me, "Okay, what do you want?" And He put me on the spot to make me actually articulate what it was that I wanted. And what seemed so clear in my 19-year-old brain was suddenly not so clear at all. "Well, I don't know what I want, now that you ask. I don't just want anything. I want something that seems important. I want something that matters in the world." The same kind of questioning or rationalizing, I think, that happens in the minds of most of us. Something that makes the world better. Something that helps people. Very vague notions. But God kind of coaxed out of me the beginnings of articulating where He was leading me. And once I got to the point where I said, "Well, I basically want to do something that helps people," then God said to me very clearly, "You know what helps people the most, right? The Eucharist. There's nothing else that you can do for people where you have my promise that says, 'Eat this and live forever.'" And so there I was, having given all of my resistance and God and knocking it all down and saying, "This is the path to your happiness. This is the path to bearing fruit and allowing me to work in your life." And so for me, this question of letting God provide is very specific to the Eucharist. As a priest, it's the opportunity to provide the Eucharist. But as a believer, it's also the way that I am fed, the way that God continues to nourish and provide something that I cannot claim on my own. The same outline of a story is true for all of us, not just for me, not just for priests. God says to each one of you, "Let me provide for you. Let me guide the path of your life, because I made you. And I know what will give you joy." And God also says, as you figure this out, and as you live it out, "Let me provide for your most basic need, the hunger that is within you." And God says, "I will be your food." And so we find ourselves wandering in the desert at times, uncertain about so many things, challenged on many fronts, trying to respond with the best strength that we have. And our patient and coaxing God leads us to the point where we say, "God, I hunger for you." And immediately He responds with, "I will provide." Every time you come to Mass, it can be a moment of real happiness, of God providing for you. Then, let God satisfy your hunger outside of the Mass as well. Let Him provide, not just when you come here, but in the day-to-day guidance that accepts that He knows what is best for us, that He is leading us somewhere on a path to salvation itself. So that here at Mass, when we identify our hunger and we identify a God who provides for that hunger, it becomes the pattern of our life. So that in all things we do, we recognize this key to happiness and we let our God provide.